say LeBron. Okay, I guess we can begin. It's Mother's Day, and my granddaughter just gave my wife a baby. There's connection. Anyway, I'm privileged to be able to share with you. I want to begin by just expressing my heart and the heart of my Lillian. You know, you don't always have to be going through hard times to see the love of the family. And this family has manifest the love of the Lord in so many ways. And part of it is in the gracious, generous support that you've given my Lillian and myself. And we just praise the Lord. We thank Him for His provision. But we thank you as His instruments. So I wanted to say that. As we come to look in the Word of God, there is a principle of Bible study that we can't take for granted. It's indispensable. And that is total reliance on God's Holy Spirit. I'm going to share a verse before we go to prayer. This one is not on the sheet. It's Romans 12:2, and it's only one little part of 12:2. It says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Transformed by the renewing of your mind. My natural mind will never be able to comprehend any spiritual truth. And your natural mind will not be able to comprehend any spiritual truth. This idea of the renewing of the mind is finally when God opens our eyes and we see things as He sees them. That's the renewing of our mind. When we finally see things as the Lord sees them. I used to think I'm getting close to some truth of God, an inch away or a foot away or a yard away. If you miss the truth of God, you miss it by light years. You don't get close to a truth. His ways, His thoughts are high above ours as the heavens are above the earth. And so we either are shown that truth by the Lord or we don't have it. Jeremiah 15:19, if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. I got that word from the Lord. And to extract the precious is to have my mind renewed. I have to see things as He sees them. Now I know there's a great chance that everybody in this room at least once has your mind transformed because you got saved. You trusted the Lord. You put your faith in Christ. And I'm not trying in any way to embarrass you, but I just asked the question. How long has it been since you've actually had another revelation of the Lord? I'm talking about where God has transformed your mind, where He showed you something that no human mind could get. We are going to touch on that truth this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we have the Holy Spirit living in our heart. And we just pray, Lord, that in this room today with so many spiritual things going on, we pray that You would open our eyes that we might be able to discern and behold some of the things, Your ways, Your thoughts, Your heart. And so we commit our little session unto You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me ease into what I want to say. Paul Greenlee reminded us that at Family Ministries, we're not in bondage to the calendar. I think in his occasion, it was Christmas time. But whether it's Christmas or New Year's or Easter or some other holiday, Mother's Day or Father's Day or a Patriots Day or any other day, we're not in bondage to that. Some churches just operate by the calendar and they just follow every week and you know where they are. There's so many weeks in Lent and so on. I came out of a church like that. The Lutheran church is much like that. We're not in bondage to holidays. Having said that, we're not in bondage from it either. We exalt Christ. We're not going to exalt mothers or grandmothers or fathers or patriots or teachers or anything like that. But we do thank the Lord for that gift of motherhood. And we do praise God for those who have been mothers, our mothers, grandmothers or whatever. We thank the Lord for that. Since the responsible brothers at Family Ministries have given me the privilege to select the text, I chose a text. In a sense, it's Mother's Day. Not really. It touches on mothers. It touches on fathers. Touches on families. But the principle that I'm going to share is universal for Christians. It touches on everyone. But we'll start with mothers and parents and so on and move on. There's a story, a beautiful story in the Bible where Christian parents gave their little child to the Lord. They gave their child to the Lord. As I suggested, this child given to the Lord is the illustration. It's not the principle. It contains the principle. It illustrates the principle. But the principle is bigger than mothers or fathers or parents or grandparents or families. The principle is in the book of Hebrews. And it's large. It's big. It's wide. It's comprehensive. The story takes place in the book of Exodus, but it's fully explained in the book of Acts, and in the book of Hebrews. I want to begin with Hebrews. Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Let me read the historical record, please. Exodus 2. 1-3. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket, covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it, set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Clearly, we're talking about Moses' parents. Let me just give a little trivia here. Anybody know the names of Moses' parents? Who was his mother? One at a time, please. Jochebed, yeah. And the father? Amram. Okay, and you'll find that in chapter 6 of Genesis. Let me give you another side of that trivia. What person in the Bible married his aunt? Yeah, it's Amram. And what woman married her nephew? Jochebed. All right, having said that, now let's... if it weren't for Hebrews 11... In other words, if all we had was the Exodus record, we would not have guessed that this little incident was done by faith. Exodus doesn't say that it was done by faith. It tells us what they did, but it doesn't tell us that they did it by faith. And the Exodus record says, she hid him. Hebrews gives the full picture. Hebrews 11:23, he was hidden 3 months by his parents. So it wasn't only her. It was his parents as well. I mean, his father as well. They're both mentioned. Now, I want to drill down a little bit into the statement that they did this by faith. I want to see the faith of Moses' parents. As you have studied before, Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter on faith. But if you take the stories in that chapter one by one, you'll be scratching your head, I think. We're talking now about spiritual discernment and what it looks like with these eyes. And it's different. When you see that Enoch was raptured by faith, you say, how did that work? And when you see that Sarah received the ability to conceive by faith, and when you read that Isaac blessed Jacob by faith, and then you read the records. Hey, didn't he ever read the record? You remember when Isaac was blessing Jacob and that whole deceit and the animal skins and all? It says Jacob died leaning on his staff by faith. Genesis said that he pulled his legs in bed and fell asleep. It's a strange chapter on faith. It mentions Barak and Jephthah and Samson, again, by faith. And you ask, what is God seeing that I can't see? We need to really wait before the Lord to get into some of this. One thing I love about this is that God sees faith where this eye often doesn't see it. Be careful of judging people. God sees faith where somebody else might not see it. And then on the other side, faith can see the Lord where the natural eye can't see the Lord. When I think of the faith of Moses' parents, it's not as obvious as, for example, the three Hebrews in the furnace. When you read that, you say, well, I see faith there, and so on. In fact, with these eyes, it doesn't even look like faith. At first, didn't they do what any parent would do? Wouldn't they try to protect their child? Except that God says they acted in faith. I want to look at that story. Let me read again Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Because they saw he was a beautiful child, they were not afraid of the king's edict. That verse mentions three things that they did by faith. They hid the child for 3 months, and they saw the baby was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. As I examine that with my natural eye, the only part I see really by faith is the third one, that they weren't afraid of the king's edict. I could see that would need faith. Let me read it for you. Exodus 1:22. Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who's born to you, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you're to keep alive. Well, I can see that would need faith. He's a cruel man. He's a cruel dictator. They not only disregarded his edict, but the Bible says they weren't afraid of it. And I say, I can see that was the need for faith. But the Holy Spirit says, by faith, they saw their child was beautiful. And I'm thinking, even without faith, doesn't every parent think their child is beautiful? Exodus 2:2, the woman conceived, bore a son, and when she saw he was beautiful, she hid him 3 months. But God said they did that by faith. Faith is a revelation. Faith comes by hearing. What did they see? What did they hear? Faith is easy to see if it goes in the same direction as God's will. In other words, if you're doing what God wants you to do. I've got grandsons that live next door to me, and they're always playing basketball. If I went to them and said, I command you to play basketball, would they have trouble obeying me? That goes in their direction anyway. And if you were asking, what are you doing? They're saying, I'm obeying the command of Grandy. They're not obeying the command of Grandy. They're doing what they want to do. They're loving it, right? You know that. You're part of that group. Anyway, if it is natural, if your heart is going in that direction, and yet you're doing it by faith, you can't see the faith. If I were to say to my neighbor grandsons, I want you to rake the leaves, I want you to mow the lawn, they would honor me. They would do it because they are wonderful grandsons. But I think in their hearts they'd be a little different. They'd be wanting to go in a different direction. Sister Hope, she doesn't need a special command to share Jesus. That's what she wants to do. That's what she does all the time. And so she'll be here praising the Lord. She'll be the only one clapping. That's her heart. She's praising the Lord. And we see her clapping. Do you see her praising? Spiritually discerned. What parent doesn't see his child as beautiful? Your kid could look like a chicken. And you would say, that's a beautiful child. Because it's yours. Because it's yours. But God said it was not natural affection that caused her to see that. And the Holy Spirit didn't leave us to wonder how she got that revelation. The Holy Spirit tells us how this was different. He waited 1,500 years before he told us, but finally in the book of Acts, he lets out the secret. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Stephen is reviewing the history of Israel. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. It was at this time Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God. Please note that. Lovely in the sight of God. And he was nurtured for 3 months in his father's house. He was lovely in the sight of God. It was more than a physical beauty that they saw. Somehow, God revealed this child is special, lovely, precious to me, in my eyes. And for that reason, they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, how'd God reveal that? Was it a vision? Was it a dream like our sister had? Did some prophet come along or some prophetess? Was it an intuition in their heart that they saw that? Was it a theophany or a Christophany? Did he appear? The Bible doesn't tell us, and it doesn't matter. What we know is, by revelation, they saw that this was beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Now remember, this child Moses is only the illustration. It's the illustration of a great principle that if God assists, I'm going to home in on. When they saw by revelation what was lovely in the eyes of the Lord, by faith they set themselves to protect and to preserve that which is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. That's the principle. To protect and to preserve that which God shows you is beautiful in His sight. You know how the enemy, how Satan, hates everything that's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. And he will attack everything that's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Without faith, you can't please the Lord. I can't please the Lord. With faith, He is pleased. When God gave that revelation, this child is beautiful, did He also tell how redemptive that would be, and someday that child would grow up and become a mighty instrument for good in God's plan of redemption? Again, we don't know. But it's no surprise that Satan is constantly attacking that which is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Why do you think there's such an attack against the family? Satan hates the family because it's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Why do you think God allows Satan to attack the church? That's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Why do you think this book is being attacked? I'll tell you why. It's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Why are young people being attacked? Because they're precious. They're beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Why is the individual Christian being attacked? Because he's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Why is there a great attack against missions? Sold him. Because it's beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. By faith, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those that bring good news. It's not only our children that are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. We read of the precious promises in the Bible. They're precious and they'll be attacked as well. His precious blood. A meek and a quiet spirit is precious in the sight of the Lord. Even the truths we hold. Satan hates grace. Satan hates liberty. Satan hates all of the things, the covenant of God. Hates the Lord's table. I'll tell you what's precious in the sight of the Lord. The death of His saints. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. But I'll tell you, not to the flesh. You better get the transforming of the mind. You got to see things as God sees them. You got to lay hold of the revelation in order to protect and preserve that which is precious in the sight of the Lord. Hebrews 11:23. Pretty much what I've said is background to getting into the principle. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months. Let me make a couple of observations. Hiding Moses' parents by faith because they saw that he was beautiful. Why 3 months? Why not 4 months? If they're doing it by faith, why not 5 months? Why not a year? If they're doing it by faith, why do we stop at 3 months? You got to remember, this is a slave family. They were not free. They were under close observation by the guards and so on. Add to that, they had 2 children at this time. Miriam was about 10 years old, and Aaron's, he's still a toddler. He's 3 years old. Even though Lillian took most of the responsibility when they were babies, I've repented and she's forgiven me. But she did. But I remember those days when they were just a month, 2 months, 3 months. Those are busy times. Especially her. She had a quiver full. Some who don't understand the spiritual principle. I read some of my commentaries, and they're critical of the faith of Moses' parents because they hid the child. And they say, well, why? If they really had faith, they would trust God. They wouldn't have to hide the child. That's deceptive. God wouldn't lead you to be deceptive. Couldn't he keep the baby from crying when the soldiers were around? Couldn't he block their ears when they came in and not hear the baby crying? Or if they did come in, couldn't he do what he did to those wicked men of Sodom and blind their eyes so that they groped and they wore themselves out trying to find the door? He could have done that. My Lillian suggested maybe she dressed him as a little girl, a pink dress and a blue ribbon, you know. I don't know. I had a problem with that. I don't know how they hid him for 3 months. Some challenge the faith that if you're really trusting God, God could make the child invisible. I've heard testimonies that they smuggled Bibles and God made the Bibles invisible. They looked at them and didn't see them. That was possible. And even if they saw them, couldn't God work compassion in their hearts like he did for the daughter of Pharaoh? God says they acted in faith. And they acted in faith. They did what was reasonable. Faith always does what's reasonable, what's practical. They used the heads that God gave them and they hid the child. But I'm coming back to the question. Why 3 months? You see, the Bible tells us why. And I want us to see that again. Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. When she could hide him no longer. You see what changed? The situation. It became impossible when she could hide him no longer. You see, when things are given to me in my hand, my responsibility, then I'm going to do what's practical. I'm going to try to preserve and protect that which God has shown me is beautiful in his eyes. But a day comes, sooner rather than later, when it becomes impossible. And that very precious thing that God gave me, that precious thing, if I don't do something else, it's going to slip away. It's going to slip away. I hope it doesn't take too long for the Lord to show you how impossible it is for you to continue without turning it over to him. It'll slip away. I said baby Moses is just the illustration. It applies to everything. I remember when the Lord opened my eyes. No human book or wisdom could give this. The Lord opened my eyes and I saw liberty. I was free. And it changed my life. It was an amazing difference. I saw liberty and I was living free. And I just threw legalism out the window. But Satan hates Satan hates that which is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. And it was wonderful for a while. I was a free man. Listen to my old tapes. You'll hear freedom, freedom, liberty, liberty, liberty. And it started to slip away. I started to lose it. And then God opened my eyes and I saw rest. Oh, I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to be worried. I can rest. It's in His hand. And rest came under attack. It began to slip away. And I was where Moses' parents were. And I realized, I got to do something. I can't keep protecting this and preserving it. It's getting away. There's other things. Believing prayer and assurance of faith and hungering and thirsting. I went after those things. And I had them for about 3 months. I had them for a little while. And I was embracing them. I wanted to keep them. But they started slipping away. And Moses' parents saw that the day comes when that which is given to her, him, as a revelation, precious in the sight of the Lord, is going to slip away unless they do something. It was beyond their ability. It was out of their hands. They recognized that they couldn't do it anymore. They wanted to preserve that which was precious, that which was beautiful. Exodus 2:3, what did they do? When she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket, covered it with tar and pitch, put the child into it, set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Got a wicker basket. The Hebrew word is ark. King James says ark. It's a different word than the Ark of the Covenant. That's just a box. This is not that word. This is Noah's Ark. This is exactly Noah's Ark. She made a basket patterned after Noah's Ark. Genesis 6:14. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, cover it inside and out with pitch. Exodus 2:3. When she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket, an ark, covered it over with tar and pitch, put the child into it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Now, in one sense, the tar and pitch was to make it waterproof, to keep it impervious to the water. But do you know how that word is interpreted? Translated, not interpreted, translated in the book of Leviticus? It's the word atonement. All through the book of Leviticus, it's atonement. There's an ark, and it's covered on the inside and the outside with atonement. And the principle is so beautiful that when God gives you something by revelation that you know is beautiful in His sight, and you want to protect it and preserve it, but you know it's going to slip away, you better put it in that which pictures Jesus. And you better cover it with the finished work. Because you're going to lose it if it's not in Christ. You only have it in Christ. And that's what they had to learn. And they took this precious baby. It's shocking to read verse 3. They set it among the reeds by the Nile. Isn't that the same river where they were drowning all the babies? I speak as a fool, but I think if I were going to try to save my child, I'd put him any place but in the Nile River. That was the first plague. That thing was turned to blood because God was showing how much blood had been shed there. The river of death. To these eyes, it looks like Moses' parents were taking their little baby and giving him over to the Nile, to death, to the world, to Pharaoh, to Satan, to the enemy. Not so. They were putting that precious child in the hand of the Lord. Because what God gives you, you don't have till you give it back. What the Lord gives you is not yours until you have it in Jesus. Until you have it in Christ. Until you have it in Christ, covered with the finished work of Christ. They moved in faith. And when they realized that they no longer could do it in the flesh, they now did it by faith and they committed it to the Lord Jesus. That which symbolized the Lord, covered in that which symbolized the blood, and they released him into the hands of the Lord. The first application is Mother's Day. Take those children of yours. Put them in Jesus. You don't have what it takes. You can't raise those kids. You can't. Give them to the Lord. Sometimes Christian parents wait. They'll eventually come to this. But usually it's when they're going off to school, when they're going off to get married, when they join the military, when they meet somebody and they move out of the state. And then they say, oh, what am I going to do with my child? I give it to the Lord, give it to the Lord. Well, praise God, give it any time. You're going to have to keep giving it anyway. But do it early. Realize you don't have what it takes. And the day's going to come when you see it's out of your hands. And you're going to have to put it in Jesus, because you don't have it until it's in Christ Jesus. It's not once for all. The act is once. But then there's a process. Hebrews 10:38, my righteous one shall live by faith. Live by faith. I want to leave the baby illustration and just look a little more at this, the truth of this, the act and the process. I am a married man. I'm a happily married man. It's Mother's Day. I'm a very happily married man. Happiest married man I ever met. Very soon it'll be 58 years for us. Happily married man. Now, as far as the act of marriage is concerned, it only took place once. June 6, 1964, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I said, I do. And I was done. Only kidding. I said, I do. That was an act of marriage. But since then, for the last 49 years, I've lived by the law of marriage. I live as a married man. I think in terms of marriage. We move in terms of marriage. We decide in terms of marriage. Everything I do, everywhere I go, it's in terms of marriage. The time I spend is in terms of marriage. Her money. The money, it's ours. We had one act of marriage, and then we live as married people. Not every act of faith is an act of getting saved. You got saved one time. You trusted the Lord. Now you live a life of faith. It's a life of faith. Not every saved, born-again person plays golf. But watch those that do. They play it qualitatively different. When they hack or slice or whatever they do, dub the ball or duff or whatever, their language is qualitatively different. Right? Okay. We got to check that out. And not every man, not every saved person has the ability to invest money. But watch those that do. They're wise and they're prudent. And they're stewards. An act of faith, January 29, 1958, that was my act of faith. I got saved. But then I've lived by faith. Not consistently. But you have the idea that you live by faith. And when things get out of your hand, I've had liberty and I've lost liberty. And then I saw that it was in Jesus. And when I embraced Jesus, I had liberty. I had rest, and I tried to hang on to it, and I lost rest. And then I saw that it was in Jesus, and it's covered with the new covenant. And then I ended up having rest. God gives it to you. You give it back to Him, and He gives it back to you. Let me illustrate that, and then we'll close. God opens your eyes to see that spiritual thing. These verses are from 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. I'm convinced He's able to guard what I've entrusted to Him until that day. We entrust it to Him. Moses' parents entrusted it. I can't handle it. It's impossible. I can't do it. I give it to the Lord. The word is garrison. He guards it. He garrisons it. Whether it's my child or my family or whatever. 2 Timothy 1:14. Now he's talking to you, me. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure that's been entrusted to you. I give it to him. He turns right around and gives it back to me. Our brother's testimony today is so moving. So much of the Lord. He's given hope to the Lord. He did the right thing. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. He put it in the ark that pictures Jesus. He's resting in the blood, the finished work. And now you have hope in a way you'd never have her any other way. May God help us. First application is Mother's Day. Surrender those kids. The bigger principle. Everything that God opens your eyes to see that's precious and beautiful and lovely in His eyes, He's called you to preserve and protect. And you can't do it until you put it in Jesus. Once it's in Christ, it's safe forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Protect your people from anything that I might have said that's not in keeping with your heart. Work these things in us. Teach us what it means to see spiritual things. To embrace those lovely things and then to keep them safe in Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.